You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I am Karen Hubbard, your host, and just want to welcome you in today. Thanks for joining us. And I'm here with Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother, Sean O'Hay.
Hey, good afternoon.
Here he goes. You let him off for a couple of weeks, and he forgets. Amen. Good to have you guys back, because you weren't here last week. And so we missed you, but Deanne and I went along. Anyway, and Deanne's out today, so... she'll be back with us next week. So, well, it's good to have you guys back. I feel like I haven't seen you for a few weeks. Nanette, because you were, you had a couple of weeks of.
Yeah, it feels good to be back.
Yeah.
There's always an empty spot in my heart when I'm not here and connected to the peeps.
To the peeps. That's right. And then seeing you were out last week and, well, you've been moving, so that's. Taking up a lot of your time.
Oh, yeah.
Moving is not fun. And, but, you know, sometimes that's what we got to do. Mm-hmm. All right. So, today I wanted to piggyback a little bit on last week's program where I was talking about the National Day of Prayer, where President Trump announced that on May 17th, we're inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on the National Mall to pray, to give thanks, to rededicate America as one nation under God. And, you know, I talked a little bit about that. I talked about, you know, proclamations and proclamations that were made actually on that same date, May 17th in 1776, where President George Washington ordered the Continental Congress to use that as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, and to humbly supplicate the mercy of Almighty God. And, you know, you can read that declaration, the order, at the National Day of Prayer Task Force. They have a copy of that. But, you know, our nation's birthday, our 250th anniversary, is this year. So there's going to be many things going on to celebrate and to honor the founding fathers of the nation and, you know, how the nation came about. And I think maybe we forget that prayer was a big part of that. And even before we became a nation, there were people praying for, you know, the freedom and what we have today in our government, the Constitution. So I feel the Lord's really put on my heart to every week to at least say something about that towards that day, May 17th. We can pray. We need to pray for the event itself and specifically for whatever the proclamation is going to be the proclamation or the decree, however, I don't know what they call it, where the announcement. And my prayer is that what the words that we hear in that proclamation are going to be words that came from heaven. Because we know that when we pray in accordance with the will of God, then that gives God permission to move. And that's it, you know, in any area of our lives. And we see chaos in the nation. We see all kinds of things going on. And, you know, and there's nothing new under the sun. But I have a sense that this is really a time that God wants to move in the nation. He's ready to move. And it would behoove us to pay attention to what the Lord is saying, not what, you know, not what people are saying, not the pundits, not, you know, people all over social media and stuff. But what is God saying about May 17th? And anyway, my prayer is that whatever is written in that declaration or in the proclamation, that it is from God.
Amen.
And then when it is spoken by the President of the United States, then as the one who's in authority over the nation, then whatever is spoken will come to pass. I had talked a little bit about edicts. You know, an edict can be in agreement with the will of God, or they can be against the will of God. So the prayer is that whatever the proclamation is going to be is in agreement with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had said last week, I don't remember any other president dedicating the nation to God other than, you know, in the with the early fathers, the founding fathers. But, you know, trust me, I haven't done a lot of research on it. I'm just going by what I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit, that if any other president prior to this one had said, we're going to rededicate America back to God, then the church would have been 100% behind it. But because of all the whatever's going on, the division and everything else, then it, you know, maybe it doesn't sound so great to do it this year because whether you like them or not. But the spoken proclamation or decree from a leader that's directed by God can shift the nation. And, I, you know, as I had said, that when I prayed about this last week, the Lord said, whatever what he proclaims will forever change the course of the nation, but only if the church gets behind him. And behind him means that you're in agreement with the proclamation and the decree. The decree. So that's my, those are just my opening thoughts about that. And, you know, and I wanted to mention that President Bukele from El Salvador, you know, what a great guy he is. I don't know how long he's been in office, but he's also spoke at the prayer breakfast. And I didn't know this until, you know, later this week, earlier this week. And he, I think that he pretty well summed it up by saying that a leader is a servant. You know, in essence, a leader can only be a leader by serving. And he talked about King Solomon and that, you know, Solomon could have asked God for anything, but he asked him for wisdom. And I believe that's what President Bukele did in El Salvador, which used to be the murder capital of the world, but is now one of the safest countries in the world. And it's because they turned and asked God how to fix the issues, how to fix the problems. It looked like there was no hope. The people were hopeless. The people were leaving the country. It was there were gangs everywhere, and you know, he asked God for wisdom how to do it, and so now we're seeing the fruit of that. But I wanted to read this thing here. And this is from an Instagram post from an individual. He said, at the National Prayer Breakfast, President Bukele delivered a message that cut through politics and power, straight to the spiritual core of leadership. Standing before world leaders, President Bukele declared that every battle, every fight, every war worth fighting has to be won first in the spiritual world. He reminded the room that while leaders plan, strategize, and govern, it's God who ultimately decides the outcome. Quoting scripture, he emphasized that victory does not belong to human strength, intelligence, or authority. The victory lies in him. He said the purpose of the gathering is not to pursue wealth, fame, or influence, but wisdom. And he urged prayer for those entrusted with authority, decision makers, policy makers, business leaders, and all who shape the lives of millions, even billions. According to Bukele, leadership is not about having all the answers, but about humility before God. Leadership does not obligate us to have all the answers all the time, but it does obligate us to seek God's wisdom and remember who ultimately grants the victories. Drawing from El Salvador's own transformation, Bukele pointed to a lesson often forgotten in modern governance. When leaders acknowledge God, nations change. And he closed by prayer for mercy, wisdom, and blessing over world leaders and all the people, ending simply by saying, may God grant wisdom to all world leaders, and may God bless us all. So to me, he just summed up everything. And the only thing that's going to save the nation is prayer. And that's my thing for today that I'm going to say in accordance with towards this May 17th rededicating of the nation to the Lord. Mm-hmm. In our prayers between now and then can help, you know, the Lord has his own plan, but he wants us to be in agreement with it, and he wants us to pray it. He can do nothing in the earth unless his people submit, surrender to him, and follow after his will.
Amen. Amen. Wow, after all that, Karen, I don't even know what to say, but I am taking notes as you're speaking, and there's a lot of really important things you said right now, and I just kind of want to like rewind and kind of go over it again, because one of my questions was, do we know the will of the Lord? You know, do we know his will? And you said, my prayer is that we are agreeing with the word and the will of God. Then my next question is, you know, and this is just me, I'm thinking out loud, right? And as she's sharing, and this is all new to me this morning, we did not know we were going to talk about this. So I'm prepared and not prepared at the same time, right? Which is usually every Friday. But what God? What God? So my prayer is I would absolutely love that we name that God. You know? Okay, so that's impressing in my heart. And so naming the God will be really, really good. Okay, because then really that determines, like it says here in the notes, where it says the edicts in the Bible served as instruments of authority and governance, reflecting both the power of earthly rulers and the overarching sovereignty of God. They are pivotal in shaping the historical and spiritual landscape of the biblical narrative, demonstrating the interplay between divine providence and human authority. So it's really important for me to know what God they're naming and placing this nation under. I believe there's power in what God we name at this moment as well. I'm not doing very well lately, just putting it all on G-O-D. I mean, I'm being honest because there's many gods. There was gods in the ancient days, and there's gods right now. But I love when you use, when you're talking about Solomon, because again, right, not a perfect man, but he was given an assignment. And so as the third king of Israel, okay, he established, it's interesting, he established a golden age, it said, of peace, immense wealth, and wisdom. And in some ways, that's what's going on today, right? In our government, like the main thing to establish peace, right? Immense wealth and wisdom. And so Solomon fulfilled the task of building the temple, the first temple. And it says that he centralized worship. Wow, like what do we have to do in this hour? Really centralize the worship. Where's our worship? Who are we worshiping? Who has our heart? Who has our devotion? Who has our mind, will, and emotions, and our spirit? Who are we aligning ourselves to? Centralizing worship, right? And then it says he was also used by expanding the nation's power and influence and infrastructure. Doesn't that sound similar to this day and age? Like the main umbrella. I know we have a lot going on, guys. There's a lot of things going on underneath all that. But it's interesting, the similarities. You know, the similarities. And my prayer is that we identify this God. I would love for that God to be identified. And that's just where I stand in things. But yes, we want to know his will. We want to follow the word of the Lord. We want to follow. Regardless, the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. There's nothing we can do to change that. And so.
Amen.
Yeah. Deep topic we're talking about this morning.
Right. And then George Washington's decree to humbly supplicate the mercy of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. We know who the Almighty God is. That it would please him to pardon all our manifold sins and transgressions. Mm. And we know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the only God that can forgive sins.
And so he named him.
That's right, yeah. So praise God for that.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's what we look forward to on May 17th. Mm-hmm. I think it's said that President Trump is the first president to really... That he wants to, what was that word they used? For religious freedom in America. He's been very vocal about, you know, people, especially among Christians, you know, a lot of Christians don't like him, and that's irrelevant. But the fact is that he's opened the door for Christians. And I remember when, before he was even elected, he met with a bunch of pastors, and he said to them, how come you guys are just all scattered? Why are you guys, you know, how come you're not unified? He said, if you guys unified, then, you know, you could really accomplish a lot. And that's, you know, coming from someone who didn't know God at that time, you know, that's, oh, it's like, anyway, without getting into
just
all
so
that.
Much. I know. You're going into deep.
Yeah. And anyway, but the focus is really, you know, that what's happening in the natural is what's happening in the spirit. In the spirit realm, there is a huge battle going on. There's always a battle going on, you know, and until the Lord finalizes everything, there's going to be spiritual battles, and the enemy wants to keep us from God. And God wants to keep us from the enemy. And we have to be able to see the difference between the two. And that, you know, we're always going to be wrestling. We're going to wrestle with flesh and blood. We're going to wrestle with our own personal opinions about things. We're going to wrestle with, well, you know, I don't think they should do that. And, you know, but that's, so just picture the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, every person in the body of Christ has a place that God designed. So if you're over in somebody else's place trying to tell them how to live, you know, then you're not in your own place where you should be learning how to listen and hear from God for yourself. And but God has a great plan. But why we have all these dumb arguments and stuff because it's the flesh. The flesh is really where all the arguments and
yeah,
and stuff like that happens.
And wasn't the Lord like way like months back, even years, wasn't he warning us like, come up higher? Well, mm-hmm. he was inviting us, come up higher, right. Come up higher. That always resonates with me because we have to come up higher from the smoke, from the cloud, from the chaos, from the voices, good, bad. You know what I mean? I'm not saying one voice, you know. But just come higher, and I feel it more and more. I know that's what he's telling me. He's like, come up higher.
Hallelujah.
Don't go there. Don't fight from that place. Don't pray from that place.
Well, think about it, not to cut you off, but so it, for lack of a better illustration, so in Minnesota, mm-hmm. you see the, you know, like a block where there's a whole bunch of people protesting. But if you pan out and look at the whole United States, that's not even a pin drop. You know, so your perspective, when you're in the midst of it, when you're around it, looking at it from ground level,
yes.
you know, you're all you're hearing is all the noise around you and you're seeing all the noise. But if you pan out, it's yeah. like when you go to Google Maps and you're looking for an address somewhere. You know, you can zoom in and see all the buildings around, but when you zoom out, then you realize how small yes. that particular thing really is.
Yes.
And how the enemy, you know, even with the prophets of Baal, with Elijah, you know, they're all hooping and hollering and, you know, kicking up everything and screaming and cutting themselves. And but, you know, their God never answered, so. Their God didn't answer because God Almighty is the answer.
Look at it like this. God has absolute sovereignty over everybody and everything. But within everybody and everything, there's those that hear from heaven and there are those that do not hear from heaven. And that's where the warfare really is. It's in the hearing. You know, his eternal plans, we call them decrees. But we're really in a season for learning the vocabulary of silence. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, a person should not think of themselves more highly than they ought, but instead use sober judgment to evaluate themselves according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to them. We're standing, we're not sitting, we're standing in a generation of leadership that is stepping up, leading people out of their exodus into where they're headed, to that place that really sustains, because righteousness exalts a nation. And the nation is standing on the word of God. But it is for those who hear what heaven has to say. I believe the Spirit of God is saying, get over yourself. My son, Jesus Christ, paid the price for everybody, everywhere, every time, for everything. Why does Scripture say, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and he made everyone a victor already, a victor is more than just a winner. So this is a serious time. This is a stern time to really come into that place of silence. Scripture says, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, study to be quiet. When was the last time we sat and said, okay, we're going to study to be quiet today, minding our own business, walking honestly toward them that are without, because there are so many without ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This is so that we learn how to walk in the Spirit. Get quiet. Learn how to walk in the Spirit so that we learn how to edit things. If you learn how to edit, you can polish your ideas, clarify your message about Christ, and you can make your content shine, so to speak, so that in the process, you can decode what's already encoded from within you and speak with the weight of heaven. This is where the change really takes place. And I'm just going to make a blanket statement. Get a revelation of the cross and the finished work of Christ, because it is done once and for all. And what has been done is finished. But that finished work of Christ, that redemption, it moves forever into eternity for every believer. And if you get a revelation of the cross, transformational power takes place in your life to bring you to a place that you could never bring yourself. It's a place called done, and it's where changes really take place. And I'm telling you, change is here today. Change is here to stay. Whatever the change is that you need, spirit, soul, or body, because the reality of the cross, again, provides revelational change that's really needed, spirit, soul, or body, to the extent where real manifestation takes place. So three questions. How did Paul shake off a viper off of his hand when the viper could have killed him? He just shaked it off into the fire. How did Peter say, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, arise and walk in the name of Jesus? I mean, how does Jesus say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. Thank God for the anointing of the Spirit of God, that is burden-removing, yoke-destroying power that comes with the unction, the permission of heaven that brings the impartation for everything, every time that you have need of. Why does the Bible say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through your intimate knowledge with Almighty God? I mean, I can go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But we're in that time, the serious time, when we need ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So we have to ask ourselves, are we a listening church? I mean, we have a president in our country, in our nation, that is being used by the hand of God, like it or not. But Scripture tells us 15 times to hear and to listen. And out of hearing and listening what the Spirit of God says, there's a teaching, there's a parable for emphasizing the importance of whom we're listening to. This is so we can have understanding of God's word and his message. Three churches. You have Sardis, you have Philadelphia, you have Laodicea. The Sardis church fell asleep on the job. Jesus said, wake up and repent. The Church of Philadelphia had a little bit of power, but lots of big opportunities. What'd he say? Don't give up. The Church of Laodicea, they were deceived and they were blinded to their condition. But what did Jesus say? Change your priorities. Are we listening? Are we a listening church? Leaders today have to stay on top of what is really happening around them. They have to discern what keeps their people from moving to the next level. We have to bring correction with direction for the purpose of hope and confront mediocrity. Never, never, never be satisfied with the status quo. Let's get quiet. Let's listen to what the Spirit of God says. Learn the vocabulary of silence so we can decode what's already encoded within us.
Amen. You know, just thinking about the amount of time that I spend on social media, and before it's like you could hear somebody say something, you go, yeah, that's great, that's true, But as of late, there are too many voices and no clear message. And I believe that things feel as though they are spinning out of control. And even for people that don't know God, people that aren't on his side, I've heard unbelievers talking about, something really going on. I don't know what it is. And I dare say that the Lord is trying to get the attention of the earth, and things are spinning out of control. I mean, things work here and there, but it's coming to a place where we're going to have to make a decision. Am I on the side of the Lord, or am I going to let the world dictate my life? It's pretty cut and dry, and I think it's becoming very, very clear. And even it's like when I hear somebody say something, whether they're a believer or not, see a post about something, and it just falls flat. Everything's falling flat because God is tearing down, structures and things that we have depended on, people that we have depended on in the past. It's God. I really see it. I don't know how to articulate it in the spirit, but I do see it. That, and I was even telling my husband yesterday, I need to get off social media. I need to just shut her down because there's nothing there. It's a cesspool. It's a cesspool of who knows what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It's a cesspool of information, but it's not coming from the Spirit of God. I believe the Lord's stripping away things so that we're only going to listen to him. And you're talking about that scene, that it's a time to listen, and you can't listen if you're scrolling. I'm talking to myself and then whoever else this applies to. do not look out there for any answers. Look only to the Spirit of God. And I don't know. I'm not going to say any more about it now, but I really believe that the Lord's trying to get everybody's attention. And, we've been talking about that for a few years, that, having that intimate relationship with him. But should we go to break? Or you want to say something?
I'm just going to say he's trying to put oil in our lamps.
Thank you.
We need viscosity so the body can move and do what it's really supposed to do.
That's right.
Fitly joined. Framed together, compacted about by a work of the Spirit.
That's right.
And sorry, even when you just said that, I was like, I always, every time you say that scene, I think of Jesus, right? His last moments before they came to arrest him. That oil was finalized. Like, he gathered enough oil. He gathered enough oil to move forward on what he was called to do. And that that silence, practicing silence right now, there's power in silence. And Jesus did it excellent. He's the excellent way, right? He did it in perfection. When they were telling him, get down from that cross if you got... When they wanted a response from him, when he was being tortured, when he was being spit on, when he was being pulled on every which way. I mean, they were pulling on him to literally take his arms and body parts off of him. Think about it. The most excruciating, undescribable scene over and over again in stages. But his silence brought escalation. His silence brought things into action, into momentum, into what he needed to do. The time responded to his silence, to his humility.
As a lamb to the slaughter.
And what I've been hearing, which I haven't really thought about much till you just said that, when... I'm looking for the They were calling out for Barabbas. That's what I hear coming from the earthly realm. We want Barabbas. You know, that's the demons from hell are screaming, we want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. We don't want the Lamb. We don't want to have to, submit our lives to the Lamb. We want Barabbas. We got to take a break for 2 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
All right, we are back. And I just wanted to clarify that with the thing with Barabbas. Even though, you know, I didn't read it, you know, I haven't read it recently, you know, but that's when they were going to choose between Jesus or Barabbas. And I felt like, that's it, the hordes of hell, they want Barabbas. And all these people that are uprising against, you know, what is it, Psalm 2? Why do the nations rage?
And the heathen imagine a vain thing.
Yeah. So it's, I just have this sense the Lord is, you know, all of it, it's everything the Lord is showing us through all of these things that he is moving. And if you're not filled with the oil from being in the presence of God, then you're going to, what is that word? You'll falter and fail if you're looking in the earthly realm for answers. There's no answers there. You're not going to get any answers. But anyway, hang on to Jesus. Look to Jesus, be quiet, and, you know, just get quiet. And I've, even so for myself, too, I've found recently that I can't even ask the Lord for anything. I just sit. I just go in the room, get my tea in the morning and just sit. And it's like, okay, I have nothing to say. You know, and then at some point in time, the Holy Spirit will, you know, speak to my heart and give me a scripture or something. And then, okay, I'll start from there. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, I'm just not asking. Until later, you know.
I think he is doing, I know with me, more of an inner work. I think that's why he's asking us to be silent also and to kind of shut in. And, you know, he wants to finish what he started in us. He wants us, he's looking at the complete work in the end, and he's having that work for us right now in this time, And if we don't pay attention to that, you know, because it does matter. Our relationship with him does matter. And what he's doing in us matters. And it has to take precedence. It really does. Because again, I just feel it with all my very being. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it.
You know, as an optimist or through enthusiasm, we have to recognize that God's nature is organization. It's not chaos. And sometimes people have an illegitimate, for lack of better words, an illegitimate desire for more, as in the tribe of Korah, Moses' family. And so, you know, we're living in a day where we still have self-appointed leadership, but Moses defused Korah's rebellion.
That's right.
And God is doing this in a way that people are going to have to get quiet and not miss their opportunity to stand up, to step up, to recognize what's really being done and receive supernatural opportunities to grow up in the body of Christ. But in this time of silence, in this time of learning the vocabulary of silence, stop and think. Meditate. What's he really saying to you? Selah. And when you stop and meditate, think about what God is saying. It's a supernatural creative ability with opportunity for you to walk in the anointing that's on your life. Amen. He said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. It's a realm, it's a place that very few know about, but we're going to be that generation that steps into that which sustains, because, you know, these are going to be some of the best times and they're going to be some of the worst times, mm-hmm. but we're going to learn how to ride the storm. Mm-hmm. We're going to walk on water.
You know, that FOMO term, you seen that? FOMO, F-O-M-O. Have you seen that? Like acronym. And anyways, I found out what that meant the other day. If you see capital letters, F-O-M-O.
Is it like FOMO?
FOMO. And that means fear of missing out. And this is where many people are. And this is what's happening with social media. Our minds are being assaulted with information. We're being assaulted with people's words, all those voices, all the opinions. We're being assaulted. And, you know, when we were young, well, seeing you two, you're a little bit younger than me, but when we were growing up, we didn't have cell phones. We had one TV in the house and one phone in the house on the wall. You know, we didn't have individual phones. And we were not, embattled with our brains. We were able to think through things and, you know, we were able to process things. We didn't have Google. So, if you asked your friend, hey, who was that guy that was on that TV show? And, you know, and then they would be like, oh, I don't remember his name. And then, you know, we would just go on to the next thing. We wouldn't, you know, be... It wouldn't bother us that we didn't know who it was. We would figure it out. We always made the joke, oh, I know I'm going to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and remember his name, and we're going to laugh, and I'll tell you next day or something. But I think the fear of missing out, that even with, prophetic words and stuff, there's a lot of all the information that's coming out. It's people's opinions, really. So it's, why would you not, like Sean's talking about, when you spend that time with the Lord to shut everybody else out, you can hear from the Lord yourself. You don't need a prophet to tell you what God is saying. Prophets confirm what you already know. If you're out looking for a word from God, because I know that this happened, you know, in the prophetic movement in church, that, you know, everybody oh, I'm going to go to this conference because I want to get a word from God. You know, those days are over because the Lord wants you to himself. He wants you to ask him yourself, and he wants you to listen so that you can hear what he is speaking to you. You know, think about it. I know with me, there's a lot of stuff I look at and I'm kind of following. But then I'm like, you know, what is this doing to my life? Is this adding any value to my life? You know, maybe if I'm listening to people or, you know, just different things I'm doing on, you know, looking at on social media. I like cats, so I watch a lot of cat videos. So to me, those are, they're not really affecting my life.
Let me just ask you a question, Karen. What is the first question in the book of Genesis, chapter 1? The first question is, what hath God said?
That's right.
What's he saying?
Yeah. What's he saying to me today? You know, when you get up in the morning, okay, God, what are you saying to me today?
And you know, when you're listening and he's speaking to you, it brings order into your life.
Yes. Yeah, and then, you know, whatever has nothing to do with you fades away. And then, you know, you can focus on what, you know, that
focus
direction.
On the alignment, not the chaos that you're going through.
Right, exactly.
And he whose mind is stayed on the Lord shall have perfect peace.
Absolutely.
Peace is not just sitting in your easy chair having a, you know, a nice time relaxing. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Greek word Irene. It's the Hebrew word shalom. It's the adequate supply of divine resources. And going through life in and of all of its challenges, you know, we need peace. We need the adequate supply of divine resources.
Hallelujah. That is right. And I have something typed in my phone here. You know, this is, let's see. I guess I'll talk about this. Again, that fear of missing out. I'm just going to read what I wrote because they haven't processed this yet. And maybe it's for somebody. So missing out, somewhere between the fear of missing out and the dread of never fulfilling one's purpose in life on earth is a battleground that many are unwilling or unable to engage in. It's so much easier to opt out for one extreme or the other, just to avoid conflict altogether. To wrestle with oneself is far more difficult than wrestling with external seen or unseen forces. And then I wrote here, Lord, show me what you have placed within me to fight this battle. Let me see the hindrances and obstacles that stand in the way of moving forward. I gird up my loins to prepare. Strengthen me for this battle. Give me endurance, determination, resolve, and an unwavering faith in your goodness and grace to help me through. And I feel that, you know, this may be a place where many people are. And it's that in-between place where we're not where we were, but we're not yet to where we're going. And this is a lifelong thing. But there seems to be like more added chaos and more distractions and more things to keep you from that place. And like Nanette was talking about, you know, to where Jesus, he just stayed on the cross. You know, are you willing to just stay on the cross and let God do his work in you and let him finish what he has started in you so that he can bring about his plan and his purposes in your life? Hallelujah.
You know, that's why, you know, earlier we were talking and just saying that a revelation of the cross is so important because it's what really establishes the understanding that we have for positional truth in Christ. You know, the life we now live, we no longer live by the flesh, but by Christ in us, our hope in glory. It's ongoing. It's every day. It's all the time to be in Christ. That's why the scripture tells us the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do in that it was weak. God sent his son to condemn sin in the flesh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And as the righteousness of God in Christ, we have a position. It comes by revelation, but it's because of the finished redemptive work that took place on that cross. He didn't just stay there. He died. He was resurrected. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the revelation that so transforms our mentality to bring us into a place that we can't bring ourselves to do for us what we could never do on our own, but that's where the grace of God really empowers us to walk in truth, absolute truth, to walk in anointing, to walk in the impartation of better things to come, to walk in the powers of the age to come.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've kind of jumped all over the place, have we not?
We have.
And the to me, the bottom line being that the chaos that we see is the opposite of what is going to come and what God's going to do in us and through us and in the nation and in the world. You know, in this world we'll have tribulation, but we're to be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome. And because he overcame, we can overcome. And that's his desire for the body. And I feel like the battles, I don't know if everybody else feels this, but I feel it. You know, it's just the battles are a little tougher. It's harder. Things are getting more difficult. And I know as we age, you know, we don't have the spunk like we had when we were younger. So sometimes, you know, you're thinking, oh, you know, it's just old age. But the resistance to the pull of the earth, the resistance to the pull of the flesh seems a bit more difficult. But we know that the Lord is just around the corner with his salvation, with his deliverance, with his refreshing. You know, and we always have that hope that whatever we're going through right now is not forever, and that he's always going to bring us to the victory. Even though we already have it, we walk in the victory, but we still have to fight the battles. We still have to wrestle with ourselves. We have to wrestle with what we believe. And
doesn't it just seem, though, like this new time and this new place, it's like there's some new structure taking place.
Yes.
There's harmony. There's precision.
Mm-hmm.
To really think clearly and to walk these things out. You know, if we have faith, we have biblical faith, we can really walk some things out free from fear,
mm-hmm.
free from doubt, because it's already so.
Right.
So as one old guy used to say, you may as well say amen because it's so anyhow, you know?
Right. Absolutely. That is true. So the encouragement is to stick with the Lord. Go deeper. Go deeper in him. Go deeper in his word. Go deeper in prayer. Go deeper in silence. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but I love when things are quiet around my house.
Mm.
When the cats are sleeping and my husband's, you know, either sleeping or out doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I like quiet. And the Lord likes quiet because he knows he can get through to us when we're willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we've got about 5 minutes left.
You know, let's pray then. Let's Let's pray that those who are listening, those who will listen from the archives, that this word just begins the work in you, begins to silence you in places that we have a tendency to talk too much and to talk out of ourselves, and to hone in on the voice of truth, to hone in on the Holy Spirit, because he's always ready to give us wisdom, especially if we ask for that wisdom. He lavishes us with the wisdom. And when we ask him to make things clear, he does make things clear. But like Karen said, I pray that not only will you listen, but that it becomes you and you begin to take the actions necessary that he's requiring in this moment, whether it be yielding, whether it be quietude, whether it be serving. I keep hearing laying your life down for another. How does that look like daily? And so my prayer is that everything that we said, that you would just give it a chance. You will meditate. You will allow him to take you into truth, and that the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah, that's interesting, laying it down. Just think about laying it down, just for the sake of laying it down.
Laying it down.
You know, and that means, Lord, I want to be out shopping. Or I want to be out running here and there and doing other things.
Yeah.
But the Lord says, lay it down. Because what he gives is far more.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Far better than what you could get on any shopping spree. I'm not picking on shoppers, but anything.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's social, scrolling on social media. You know, so, okay, God, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, an hour and a half goes by because you're so lost in scrolling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm hearing right now, I don't know if this is for someone, but I hear, stop trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Whatever that is, just, you know, and just be at that place of silence, and he'll make things clear instead of you like trying to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray that ministers to someone.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
You know, you who are listening, you who belong to God, you are his, and it's his fire that's refining you. And as you align your words with him, connection comes with promise and fulfillment between heaven and earth, because what was broken shall be made whole. So let us build together in submission to God, and watching some doors close while other new doors are opening. And while the world is in a state of hesitation, count the real cost. Because divine motion causes you to prepare, and preparation always precedes blessing. And this is a time of supernatural acceleration and abundance for supernatural breakthrough. So as you receive your mandate for the time which you are alive, allow the technology of heaven to cause you to continue as you prepare for the days ahead.
Amen. Amen. So we're just about out of time. And thanks for joining us today. Hope you'll be back next week as we let the Holy Spirit direct our thoughts and our hearts and our words. I would just pray that you'll be blessed this week, and that the blessings of God be added to your life today. God bless. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.